Let me introduce you to Actor Man. He's turns out to be quite an elderly gentleman for his time. He's at least 45 years old. This has been established by our osteologist, Garrett Cole, one of our small team of scientists. And he stood to quite a good height, actually, something like 6 feet. So he was not a short man. He would have been quite prominent, I think, physically as well as obviously in stature, because he was brandishing this rather fine showy dagger. And James has already mentioned the rivet studding of the hilt. I mean, that's really very rare feature of daggers at this early stage in metal use. We only know of seven examples across the whole of the UK, so in that respect alone, it's quite an important discovery. It turns out that that dagger has even more importance, because we've managed to ascertain that he's right at the cutting edge of bronze, the point where copper metallurgy gives way to bronze metallurgy. In other words, they have discovered and are putting into systematic use the practice of alloying, adding tin to the copper to make bronze. Now, the combination of the style of the dagger and the radiocarbon date that we've got on a little bit of one of Racton Man's teeth, the combination of those tell us that this is about the earliest bronze object in this country.
It's incredible. I mean, and I suppose because he was at the leading cutting edge of this, one can assume that maybe he was a man of stature, not just because he was 6 foot, but socially as well.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think there's any question that the relatively few people buried with a dagger in these times, and it was very very small minority of men who were, you know, given that honour, if you like. They clearly were people of some prominence in their community. The other thing that has emerged from the research is possible indications of how his death came about. It doesn't look as if it was of natural causes, although Garrett Cole found various sort of age-related ailments, the sort of things that, that many of us even today suffer from as we get older. The really remarkable thing he discovered, and this too is pretty unusual, is some damage to the bone, in two places around the right humerus, that's the upper arm. In particular, he found that there's a slice had been taken off the bottom end of that bone, and more importantly still, he found no sign of healing of the injury. So it really does look as if these injuries were sustained by Racton Man at or very close to the time of death. So we can probably envisage a scenario where he's in conflict with someone in combat, and that was what brought about his demise.
It's incredible, the science that you can age him. Say he's got tooth decay, say he had sinus issues, say how he'd... It's incredible how technology has moved on that you can bring this story. I'm assuming as well you've been able to tell whether he grew up in this sort of area or...
Well, I'm glad you've introduced that, because that's possibly the third really important angle that has come out of our little body of research, which I should say, incidentally, has been supported by the South Downs National Park Authority. We're very grateful for them. They have supported both the research and the presentation. It's also all about, you know, making this information available to the public. So that's what we're in the course of doing. Now, the third element is this question about, you know, what his origins were. The results that we get, the isotopic results we get, which are based in this case on strontium isotopes and oxygen isotopes, the combination of the two, they tell us about where he was brought up in his childhood, because they're analysing one of the molars that erupts during childhood. What we've got is not definitive evidence, because the results you get from these analyses have quite a statistical range. So there's always kind of elements of uncertainty. However, the strontium result is absolutely definitive that he was not brought up in a chalk region. He could have been brought up on flanks, on other geologies, either side of the chalk, but definitely not on the chalk. The oxygen result tells us something slightly different. It isn't definitive, but the probability is that he actually was brought up somewhere rather further west than Sussex, the Sussex-Hampshire borderland. He could well have come from, you know, further along the south coast, for example, down towards the southwest peninsula. We can't be very precise about that.
I mean, it's just so incredibly rare. Again, just tell us, for someone in your trade to stumble across this is not an everyday occurrence. I mean, just how rare, how significant is this discovery?
Well, it has turned out to be collectively the various branches of evidence we've brought together. It has turned out to be quite a stunning assemblage of results, and I think it's fair to say that we have. You know, now created one of the fullest profiles yet for an individual of this age of 4,200 years ago. It's a lovely story.
For you, I mean, everyday sort of occurrences for you. I suppose this must be quite sort of like the cherry on the cake for you, really, is it? I'm gobsmacked, and I'm just thinking I don't have to do this for a living.
Yes, of course, it is the cherry on the cake, particularly when, I think what really makes it is the excitement that you can see it generating. It's one thing for the specialists to get excited about this aspect or this aspect, and sometimes, you know, they're quite fine points of archaeological detail. But when you can discover or unravel a story that genuinely excites the layperson, then that really is the top. That's what it's all about.